Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, these guys have preached and sang all over what I have come to preach today, and I'm not angry about it. Amen. It all is just going hand in hand with one another. And the Lord is speaking to somebody, some people in this house today. What you need to do is just release your faith and believe what God wants to do in and through you. Amen. Had the privilege this morning of teaching Kids Central. I enjoyed it, and I hope they enjoyed it. But it was an honor to teach them. Was thankful to be a part of that and being asked to teach. Was talking to my father the other day, and he has a hard time connecting me as the pastor has his son. And so as we were driving down the road, he asked, as he has on several occasions, "Have you met our new pastor yet?" I said, "Yeah, you know, I've met him. I seem like a pretty good guy." I said, "Do you think he's a pretty good preacher?" "Yeah, yeah." He paused for a minute. He said, "He's a better teacher than he is preacher, though." I said, "Well, I think with a little experience, he might end up becoming a little better preacher, too." I said, "I know him pretty good. I think he'll listen to me if I talk to him. But I'll tell him he probably needs to, you know, might need to do a little more teaching. And so I'm going to try to go by the wishes of my father this morning, although they're not able to be here today. And I'm going to try to teach on this good Sunday morning what I feel directed to the Lord. I'm turning your attention to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but one that I want us to give our attention to this morning. To the praise team, musicians, thank you for ushering us into the presence of the Almighty. Amen. Thank you for your sensitivity of what to sing every time you plan and schedule. Thank you for being sensitive and following what you feel. So many times it goes hand in hand with what the preaching is going to be. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. To Nana, we say welcome to the Central Church. She's back there sitting. My grand, she's a guest of the Goodmans. Nana, we're so happy to have you this morning at the Central Church. We welcome you. Thankful that you're here today. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28. I was taught, Brother T.L. Kraft, who was the president of JCM, the college I attended, he said, when you announce your scripture text, you need to announce it at least three times. He said, the first time, they wasn't listening. The second time, they'll only get maybe the chapter or the book that you're reading from. Third time, they'll more than likely get the entire scripture. Now, this was before the days of monitors and technology as we have it today. And so I know most of the time it's just read from the screen. But I still cannot break that habit of announcing the scripture text at least three times. And I can't say anything about not listening to the announcements. Brother Ryan, I've sent you a text because I did not hear what the date was for our Memphis takeover. So if you'll just, matter of fact, if you'll just tell us. March 7th. Okay, I had it scheduled for January. So I had my January pulled up, so I guess I was pretty wrong on that. Amen. We're going to have a great time. I encourage you men to be a part of it. And ladies, got your ladies' night out tonight. They're all excited. And I hope you have as much fun as we did last night. Man, if you did, you might give your husband an extra kiss tonight for, you know, you just can't ever tell what's going to happen. Yeah. Brother Jamie's praying that they all have a great time tonight. And we know but we sometimes forget. And we know that all things work together. Everybody say together. For the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I want to teach to you on this Sunday morning, this lesson, the blessing of the bad. The blessing of the bad. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I would say you're probably a lot like I am in this area. If you've ever had been fortunate enough to have this happen, and I would say all of us have at some point in time. I love unexpected blessings. Things that you were totally unaware of that was about to unfold. I love unexpected blessings. You kind of find yourself as the man who in John chapter number 5 had sat at the pool for 38 years with an infirmity. And when the angel would come to stir the water, the first person that got in the water was healed of their sickness. Some may have just happened to be walking by that maybe had a bad toe. And maybe they got healed instead of somebody that's been sitting there for days or like this man for years. But it was fell upon the fortune of the person who got in the pool first at the stirring of the water. They were healed of whatever sickness they had. This man was there for 38 years, waiting patiently, I guess, for at any moment the water would be stirred so that he could get his broken and frail body and hopefully just kind of fling it over into the water before anybody else noticed that the water was stirred. But on this day, there was no stirring of the water because the healer was passing by and had a conversation with this man, and the Lord simply asked the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And his response was, "I have no man when the water is stirred to help me into the water." The Lord was not asking why he had not been healed. He said, "Do you want to be healed?" Jesus was there to tend to business at that day, at that very moment. I believe that this man was totally unexpecting of the miracle that was about to unfold in his life. But for one second he is lame, and the very next second he is completely healed from all of his infirmities. I thank God for those unexpected blessings that I have received in my time of living for God. And there's been more than I can share with you today, but I will mention a few unexpected blessings that God has blessed me with. I'll never forget many years ago now when my wife and I had only been married for, I know it was in the first 6 months of our marriage because we were still living in the first house that we rented as newlyweds. But we were low on groceries. And when I say low, sometimes my low on groceries is a lot different than somebody else's low on groceries. Because I remember in days when I'd say I was broke, brother, I didn't have a dime. Other people's definition of broke was, well, I've only got $10,000 in the bank account. We do not have the same definition of broke. When I say I'm broke, brother, I'm broke. And when I said I didn't have any groceries, I'm going to tell you, there was very few groceries. But you know, being the newlywed and provide for my family, my beautiful bride, and she just gets more beautiful with age. But my beautiful bride, and I had too much pride to call my mom and dad, and really had too much pride to call her mom and dad. I thought, you know, I've got to take on the responsibility. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but we're low on groceries and we need groceries. Amen. It was like on a Wednesday night. Our midweek service was on Thursday. But it was like on a Wednesday evening that a person from the church unexpectedly to us came and dropped off bags, plural, of groceries that we were in desperate need of. So many bags of grocery that we found out there was a lady in our church who their son was in need of groceries. I was kind of like the leprous men who found the bounty. They said, we cannot keep it to ourselves. We're going to share what we've had or what we've received. And so we took a few of the bags of groceries and made sure they had something to eat as well. Amen. One moment you're wondering, how am I going to put food on the table? And the next moment you've gotten food for days. I love those unexpected blessings. And I won't go through the whole story. Some of you have heard it on numerous occasions. But the very first time that God worked in my life in this arena, amen, I was in service one time, sitting on about the second or third row as you're looking out the congregation on the right side of that sanctuary. And Brother Morgan had made the statement, if God was to ask me to write everything out of my checking account and give it to the church, he said, I'd do it today. I'll never forget, my first response was, oh man, that's awesome. Man, that's awesome of you, Pastor. And I no sooner got that thought out of my mind that God spoke to me. And the Lord said, I want you to do that. And I'll never forget telling God, I didn't say it, he did. But nonetheless, I knew God had spoken. I wrote everything out of my account. It was like $252, and I gave it to church that night. Little did I know that God was preparing a lady in that service that said, if you see him take an offering up there, you are to do this. It was just a few days later, and there's a lot more in the story that I don't have the time to go into. But a few days later, I received not a check in the mail. I received five crisp $100 bills, twice as much as what I had given in the offering. Amen. I'll never forget needing the money that day, amen, to cover the rent. I told my wife before I went to the mailbox, we were living in some condos at this time, I said, her check that she had worked for been messed up with the Creek Nation Indian. Anyway, I said, that check is going to be in the mail. I said, but if it's not, God's still going to make a way. You know, I said that with real confidence that that check was going to be in the mail. I walked to the mailbox and the check was not in the mail. And I saw an envelope, that one that I just spoke of, that where it was came from was smeared. And instantly I thought about stories I'd heard of missionaries that came to JCM to speak about how God provided in unexpected ways. And I just thought for an instance, could it be? God, is this my time? And brother, when I opened that envelope and saw those crisp $100 bills, let's just say I didn't mope back to the house. I shouted my way back to the house, thankful for what Jesus had done. I could go on and on and talking about the miracles that God has done. I'll never forget in a mission service at General Conference some 8-9 years ago, God spoke to me to sell my car that I had, one of the cars that I had, and give the money to missions. And I knew that if I do this, is my little car that I'd bought from April, amen, giving it to Shiloh. Shiloh had a different car, so I inherited the car. And but the Lord spoke to me, and so I ended up selling the car when I got back home and gave the money to missions. And God told me that night, he said, if you'll do this, I'm going to do this. And brother, I'm telling you, God stayed true to his word. We serve an on-time God. And I'm telling you again, I love those unexpected blessings. And I'm going to tell you, some of you need to leave this place today with some faith that says, you know what? I may end up receiving one of those unexpected blessings. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how it's going to get here, but I just believe God. Let's not limit the Lord in his ability to work in our life. But I want to be honest with you and let you know that it would be misleading of me to leave you with the impression that living for God is like that every day. That living for God is always unexpected checks in the mail. That living for God is unexpected miracles that roll into your life. I want to be honest with you and say that it doesn't happen like that every day. Now, I don't want there to be misunderstanding about what I'm saying. There is no better life to live than living for God. It is truly what the Bible said, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And one will never find contentment in life outside of walking with Jesus. Can I tell it you like this? My worst day in living for God was better than my best day in living in sin. Thank God for the righteousness and the peace and the joy that I have because of the Holy Ghost in my life. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you again, it's not every day and it's not every week of miracles, signs, and wonders and unexpected blessings. Doesn't happen like that. Life is made up of good times, mountaintop experiences. But I want to be honest with you. Even Holy Ghost filled people walk through trials and valleys and loneliness and questions. Again, don't misunderstand. There's no life better than this life. I want to save some kids and some young people and some hyphen and other adults that are in this house. Hey, amen. I want to put it in your mind right now. There's nothing better outside of living for God. Drugs is not the answer. Alcohol is not the answer. Addiction is not the answer. Relationship with God can only satisfy the longing that's inside of your heart. Let's look for a moment the setting of St. John chapter number 6. In this chapter, you'll see a miraculous moment that happens when Jesus takes a few fish and a few loaves of bread and fed well over 5,000 people with a few fish and a couple of pieces of bread. And the disciples served them. And not only is it amazing that everybody ate until they were full, but also is what it was amazing is they had more left over than what they started with. That's the kind of God that I serve. And then the Bible said Jesus departs from them. And that evening the disciples gather in a boat to go fish. In comes a concerning storm. But in that concerning storm, Jesus comes walking to them on the boisterous sea waters. And they were amazed to find out that this is not a ghost. This is our Savior. The Bible says the next day, those that had been fed by the loaves and fish, some at least 15,000 people, some of those people found out where Jesus was. And they decided to go where Jesus was. And Jesus informs them, I know why you're here. You came because of the miracles. You came for the loaves and the fish. He said, but my purpose for you finding me now, in all reality, is for the purpose of relationship. Amen. He taught them a very difficult lesson that it is well should be taught to us today. I thank God for the miracles. I thank God for the signs. I thank God for the faith that I feel in this house this morning. I thank God for every miracle God has unfolded in my life and in yours. But I cannot serve Him for the loaves and the fish. I've got to serve Him and want to serve Him because I long for relationship with my Savior. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. And I want Him to talk with me as well. It was at that moment Jesus began to teach them lessons that were difficult for many to receive. And after he teaches this difficult lesson, let's read what unfolded after these lessons were taught, and then also Simon Peter's response. In John chapter number 6, in verse number 66, from that time, after he had taught the lessons, many of his disciples went back. Now, that's not talking about his 12 original disciples. It's talking about the other entourage that had been following him and walked no more with him. You know why? Because they were only in it for the miracles. As long as you do miracles in my life, I'll serve you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to walk with him if he never does another miracle in my life. And that's the kind of determination you've got to have. Who was it? Brother Keaton was talking about the time of prayer that I can't feel you. And God said, I don't want you to serve me because of what you feel, but because of what you know. And I'm going to tell you something. My Savior took my sins upon the cross and died for me so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. That's the reason why I serve him. Many walk no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. I like what Simon Peter declared after Jesus sees the multitudes leaving. He said, will you go also? And Simon Peter said, where would we go? There's nothing outside that we want besides relationship with you. We're going to stay here. We're going to stick by your side because we know you are that Christ. He basically was saying, I've got my feet planted like a deep root in the ground of a tree. I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. You know, they say a palm tree, its roots do not spread outwardly like most trees do. Its root goes downward. And that's why it can sustain many very furious winds and the storms and not break. It may bend, but it takes a real strong wind to make it break. It'll bend, it'll give a little bit, but this tree stands still. That's the kind of relationship you've got to have with God. Life doesn't sometimes make sense. I may bend a little bit, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stay right here in the church. I'm going to live for God when life doesn't make sense. My feet are still planted in relationship with God. You need to make up in your mind, there's nothing outside of living for God that I want. He's got everything I need. And therefore, I'm going to stay with him. I like what David declared in Psalm chapter 84 in verse number 10. He said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. What's he saying? He said, one day in the house of God is better than a thousand anywhere outside of the presence of God. That's how we must look at our living for God. Through the good and through the bad. Through the blessings and the unpleasant. I'm still going to live for God. I'm going to tell you, it's very misleading to think life is better without Jesus. It is very misleading. The prodigal who is both wasteful and wayward, and that's what the word prodigal means, wasteful. But he was also wayward. He thought, if I can get a little change in my pocket and go jing-a-ling-a-ling. I just dated some of y'all. Some of you are laughing, you just told your age, or you like old music anyway. And I shouldn't even say that because I don't even know what the song, the lyrics go to, what song it goes. Oh, Jesus, forgive me, I pray. Now, Lord, get this song out of my mind. I'm trying to figure out the song, and I need to deliver the word. I probably need to sit with preaching instead of teaching because I get to. Anyhow, we're going to recover from this, I promise you, in Jesus' name. It got hot in here all of a sudden. And I know you say, some of y'all saying, y'all lying. You lying because I've been fanning forever. We can turn the air on if we need to. Some of y'all, in Jesus' name. But he was wasteful and wayward. He thought, if I can get a little money in my pocket. He said, I'm going to go out and live the way I want to live in this parable that Jesus did or gave. And he does. He spends it all. He's got the money. He's got the, man, he's the talk of the town wherever he goes. But then the money runs out and he finds himself in the pig's pen. And then he thought to himself, I'm going back home because daddy's house is really the better place. I'm telling you, it is misleading to think it's better outside of the church. It is not better outside of the church. I'm going to tell you, not everything that appears good is good. It's not everything that appears good is good. In Philippians chapter number 3, starting verse number 4, Paul made these statements. He said, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I the more. He said, if anybody ought to be trusting the flesh, I should be. And he gives his pedigree. I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. Man, I was a Pharisee, which was top notch. Concerning zeal, oh brother, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. But he said, what things were counted gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He said, you know, I know those of you on the outside, you may look at my pedigree, and brother, I was a Pharisee. I was blameless concerning the law. Man, my passion that I had in making sure things were righteous in the eyes of the law. He said, I persecuted the church. He said, I know you look at that and think, boy, I would like to have had the life Paul lived. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. Not everything that looks good is good. He said, I chose this other life. I gave up the former things. He said, and I do count them as dung, cow manure, that I may win Christ. In other words, what he was saying, he said, I found out the best life to live is living for God. All these other things that looked good, they were not good. I'm going to tell you, be careful the things that you run and seek for. Because again, not everything that looks good is good. Ask Lot. Ask Lot in the Bible when he looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he chose that destination, but it became a place of desolation. His wife died on that day because she looked back because her husband had made a choice to live in a particular place. It looked good, but it wasn't good. You cannot measure how things look by the carnal eye. You need to seek God. Is this the right direction for me? Should I go here? Should I take this job? Should I attend this college? Come on. Should I hang out here on the weekend? And there's some places that ain't nothing wrong with it. But if it's going to put your soul in jeopardy, you got to cut some things off. You got to cut some, because our greatest goal in life is to be saved. More than anything else. And just as not everything that looks good is good, not everything that looks bad is bad. Not everything that looks bad is bad. Joseph interpreted a dream for the king in the Old Testament. The king had two dreams and couldn't figure them out. He said the first dream, there were well-fed cattle, if you will. Man, they just looked awesome, strong and stout. There were seven of them. He said, but He said, but there were another seven that showed up, and they were famished. They looked bad. He said, but the famished one devoured those that were well fed and looked healthy. And he could not figure out the dream. And Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream. There's going to be 7 years of plenty where there's going to be more than enough. He said, but there's also coming after that 7 years of famine. And he gives the king the instructions, do not waste the 7 years of plenty, because there's going to come a time that you're going to need what is left over and what you have preserved and what you have stored up to get you through the 7 years of famine. I'll never forget Brother Wayne Huntley preached a message years ago, don't let the bad eat up the good. I'm going to tell you something. There are some things in life that comes our way that are bad. It looks bad. It looks like it's just dreadful. It looks like it can't get any worse than what it is. But I'm going to tell you, you need to hold on to your relationship with God, because although it looks bad right now, it doesn't mean it's going to end up bad. I'm telling you that God is not finished writing the story of your life. You need to make up in your mind right now, it doesn't matter how bad it looks like right now, I've got a God who's able to change things, and I believe there is a blessing in the bad if I'm walking in the will of God. If I'm walking in the will of God, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called. You don't have that promise if you're not walking in relationship with God. But if you're a child of God, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how bad things get sometimes. If you're walking in the will of God, it's not going to stay that way. God is going to turn and let you find the blessing of the bad. That's what happened to Joseph. He ends up being betrayed by his brethren. He's sold as a common slave in Potiphar's house and the events that took place. But Joseph said, I know you meant it for bad. He said, but God had another plan, and God meant it for good. I'm telling you, make up in your mind. I may be going through a bad thing right now, but as long as I'm walking in the will of God, somehow there's going to be a blessing in the bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't let the bad eat up the good. Remember, God's got a bigger purpose and plan in your life. And you just have to let it unfold. Let it unfold. If you try to force it before it's time, if you try to make it happen before it's time, you take a rose that's not fully bloomed and you force those petals to open, they're going to fall, they're going to crumble, they're going to break off. But if you'll give the rose time, it's going to unfold and be a beautiful flower, but you've got to give it the time needed. Don't rush the timing of God in your life. If it's a time of pruning right now, if it's a time of digging up the soil of your heart, whatever is taking place, baby, just hang in there, because there's going to come a day and a moment that you're going to find the blessing in the bad, because God's not finished. Paul was walking in the will of God. He's put on a ship. He's a prisoner, but he's in the will of God. The ship becomes stranded. He told him, he said, I've heard from God. Stay on the ship. And brother, you can't jump, bail out before it's timing. And the ship started to fall apart. They swam. They made it to the other side. It was cold outside, cold waters. They're freezing, but they all made it safely. And they started gathering sticks for a fire. And guess what happens as Paul goes to pick up a stick? A poisonous snake latches onto his hand. What does Paul do? He just jerks it off into the fire. Those that were natives of that island thought for sure Paul was going to quickly die because of being bitten by the poisonous snake. And they were amazed when he didn't swell up. And when he didn't die, and the poisonous snake had no effect on his life. You know what? That was a bad situation. But the blessing was those people realized that the God he serves is the only God. It's the same thing that happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown in the fiery furnace. Yeah, that was bad. But there was a blessing that was coming from the bad. You know what the blessing was? When the king looked down in there, he said, I thought I only threw three in there, but I see four in there, and the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. That king realized that the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serves is the real God. I don't want anybody speaking against their God. We're not going to say anything negative about their God because they serve the only God. There was a blessing in the bad. Yes, there was a fiery furnace. Yes, there was a fiery furnace. But God was with them through the fiery furnace. They didn't get burned. Their hair was not singed. God was walking through them. That's a blessing in itself. But the truest blessing was that God got glory out of what he did through them. And there is a blessing in the bad. Let's stand together. I want our praise team to come back. We're going to sing that song again that we've sang today. You know, Lazarus and Mary and Martha were dear friends of Jesus. Dear friends of Jesus. Well, there came a point in time where people had heard that Lazarus was real sick, and they told Jesus, Lazarus is sick, we ought to go see him. And Jesus said, now we're going to stick around here a little bit longer. They stayed a few days longer, and then all of a sudden, Jesus says, all right, guys, let's get up and go. We're going to go see Lazarus. He's sleeping. I said, well, if he's sleeping, he's getting rest for his body. We don't need to disturb him. Jesus was trying to tell him, Lazarus is dead, but we're going to go see him. And so they go, they make their way to the city. One of the sisters come out first and said, if you had only been here, Lazarus would not have died. When he gets to the house, the other sister repeats the same thing. You got to imagine the questions that they had among themselves and the conversations that Mary and Martha had together. Why didn't Jesus come? I mean, Lazarus was on his sickbed. He's on his deathbed. He's a friend of Lazarus. Why didn't Jesus not come? And then the sad news when Lazarus actually died. And then all of a sudden, after Lazarus is dead and put into the tomb, here comes strolling in Jesus. And again, their question, and I can't blame them. I would have done the same thing probably. Jesus, why did you let it unfold the way you did? Why did it take place? And I'll be honest with you today, there are some things that happens in life that I can't give an answer for. There's some things that have unfolded in life that just makes no sense to me. But I'm reminded of the old song, by and by, one of these days, it's going to make sense. We'll understand it better by and by. We may never know on this earth why some things happened the way that they did. But I do know, if he don't tell me here, he'll explain it over there. But Lazarus was dead. Jesus is taken to the tomb. The stone is rolled away, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes bound hand and foot out of the tomb. They remove the grave clothes, and guess what? Lazarus is alive. It was bad that Lazarus died. It was heartbreaking for his sisters and his family and his friends. It was heartbreaking. But the blessing in the bad was this. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, all eyes are now on Jesus. People start getting the revelation. He is the Savior. He is the one that we've been looking for, that was prophesied about. He is the Savior. That was the bad, or that was the blessing in the bad. And can I tell you today, it could be that as you're looking at your present situation and circumstance, it may be bad. Let's just be real sometimes. It looks bad sometimes, Brother Hilton. Sometimes it just seems it looks bad. But could it be that God isn't finished yet? As long as you've got breath in your body, He's still wanting to write the story of your life. It may appear like it's over, but I've come to tell you, baby, it ain't over with yet. I've got a feeling there's some people that's going to find the blessing from the bad. I'm going to say it again. I believe that there are some people in this house today that you have faced some bad situations and you're going through some bad things, but you give it some time and let God unfold it, and God's going to let you find the blessing in the bad. You know why? Because all things work together for good. Not just the good, but all things work together for good. The good and the bad. The rejoicing and the pain. The laughter and the tears. The mountaintops and the valleys, they all work together for good. I'm just telling you today, somebody that's here in this house, get ready, because God is not finished. And so I dare you to press beyond any and everything that wants to hinder or prevent you. Reach out, touch Jesus, and tell yourself, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I may be going through a rough patch. I may be going through a rough time, but brother, I've got my mind made up. I'm going to stay in my relationship with God. I'm going to walk through the valley. I'm going to walk through the storm. But somewhere, somehow, God is going to bring a blessing from the bad, because all things work together for good. Would you join me around these altars this morning? I'm asking you if you would. It's just a request, and nobody's going to force you or make you, but it's just a request. Would you come up here around these altars in closing as we sing again? Hey, man, make up in your mind. I may be going through a bad patch, but I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay because I'm going to see the blessing that comes from the bad. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the kind of faith you've got to have today. And the expectancy that I have. God, you can turn it around. And you're going to turn it around. Because there's a blessing from the bad.